So there are fewer organizations that are thinking about AI from that lens, but more who are leaning in on the productivity side. The second finding is that both foundations and nonprofit leaders believe foundation staff lack an understanding of nonprofit AI-related needs. So specifically, three quarters of nonprofit leaders that we surveyed, that responded to the survey, reported that they believe that none or just a few of their foundation funders understand their concerns around AI. What this quote I'm about to say right now is indicative of a lot of what we're hearing. We've had very limited conversations about AI, said one nonprofit leader. Only one funder understands it enough to see how it could be useful. No other funders we have understand it or have even expressed a willingness to understand it. So there's relatively little dialogue between foundations and grantees about grantees' AI needs, and fewer than 20% of nonprofit leaders report that their funders have engaged them in conversations about using AI in their work. And we know though that some of that is likely because what we also saw in the data is that almost two-thirds of nonprofits and foundations report that their organization's staff have a solid understanding of AI and its applications. And so having that understanding, would be helpful in terms of everybody having a deeper knowledge of how to use the tool. The third finding is that few foundations provide funding or non-monetary support for grantees' use of AI. So nearly 90% of the foundations that we surveyed do not offer funding or non-monetary support for AI use to grantees. And among the 10% of foundations that do provide it, the majority indicated that it's not part of the foundation's strategic plan. But however, when we ask foundations more about this, over a third of the leaders say they just simply haven't received any requests from their grantee partners for supporting AI-related needs. So, for instance, one foundation leader noted, "It hasn't been on our radar. We are responsive to grantee priorities and requests, and they haven't asked for this." And so we're seeing kind of this mismatch here in this third finding. And then finally, the fourth finding is that much opportunity remains for both foundations and nonprofits to take the ethical development, deployment, and use of AI into consideration, particularly for historically marginalized communities. So few of the foundations or nonprofits that responded to the surveys reported discussing or working on using AI systems in ways that promote equity. So only about 11% of foundations reported providing some form of implementation support. And of those respondents who were providing that kind of support, half reported they do not currently provide support to advance equitable AI. And most indicated that they had engaged in very few conversations around it either. And so there's a lot more in the report. Like I said, this is just a preview and early findings, and I'm really excited to hear from the other panelists about their thoughts, reactions to this data and how it resonates.
Amen to that. I put in a link to the State of Nonprofits 2025, which I believe is also your team from CEP. And so I'm curious, and before we go to the next panel, like, why did this need to be its own report for AI and the philanthropic space? Like, what was the driver behind doing this separately versus part of this large report?
Yeah, well, it was interesting. Last year, actually, in the State of Nonprofits 2024, we asked one question around AI use. And we asked organizations whether they had any policies around AI. And the data that we got back there was that there was a really low number of nonprofit organizations at that time who had a policy around it. And then as we started to see more and more studies coming out in the field around AI use, we saw that many studies were either just interviewing a subset of folks. Sometimes people would do surveys, but they weren't necessarily representative surveys. And so we thought, hey, it's really important to try and have a rigorous baseline of what is the current state of how this is operating in the field so that we can have some more informed conversations around a technology that folks are using and starting to use, but really wanting to understand more how others are doing it and how they can work together better. And so we're hopeful that this data provides a starting point for that conversation.
I'm curious that, so for those on the panel, we've seen an early copy for the panelists, and I'm very proud of us so far for not immediately running and sharing it out. So please do click that registration link. If you can, we'll be sharing additional sort of snippets as we go and pieces. Were there any data points that surprised you, or any other stories that kind of jumped out at you? And then we'll go to Jeff next. But I'm just diving into that piece as we go forward. Great. Okay. So Jeff, I'm going to turn over to you in just a sec. But I'm curious from your side. I think what I'm very excited about is reading this report. I think there was a lot of different pieces that kind of came up from these conversations of like, that makes sense. I'm seeing that. I guess, you know, something like 400 other people are seeing it too, at least in the nonprofit and foundation space. So I'd love to hear just a bit about, you know, your work with the Hilton Foundation and sort of early reactions to the report, and does this resonate with you?
Yeah, I mean, to cut to the chase, it absolutely does resonate, and not surprised. It was good to sort of read what I had been observing be confirmed, and I can say more in a bit. But at our foundation, just the scene set a little bit, we've, you know, it's interesting because you can both feel incredibly behind but also far ahead at certain moments, just depending on who you're talking to. But we have, you know, as a foundation, lightly leaned into trying to figure this out. So doing things like, you know, establishing AI working guidelines, and that includes having like an AI task force that includes our program department, our general counsel, our IT, and our comms department, and is supported sort of by our executive leadership team to really help sort of not necessarily develop a strategy, but I think we've been sort of developing the parameters for how staff can engage with AI tools and give us a process to be able to do that. So we've been testing various tools, and, you know, I think we sort of stumbled into it not on purpose. It wasn't like, let's do this. It was, we were doing some basic data analysis work, as I think may have been written in the intro. Like, we have north of about 800 grantees that are active at any given time, and that's a lot of information, you know, looking at the global footprint to try to manage. So we were just trying to say, like, let's take our grants management data and be able to understand sort of how our strategies are being distributed across the world through by strategies, etc. So we're building these like Power BI dashboards, and as we were going through that, we were working with Exchange Design, and we're like, have you heard about this? It was right when generative AI came out, and for me, it was sort of that like light bulb moment of the knowledge management problem. I'm an evaluation professional, so the knowledge management problem had always been, you get all this information in these organizations, you know, whether it was U.S. Institute of Peace, or, you know, I worked at a USAID contractor for a while. There's just so much information that's produced, and it's either hard to find through folder structures, or it just lives in people's heads, and like we experience a lot of knowledge loss. And so the promise was, you might be able to organize this information and access it more easily. And as an evaluator, that is something that was potentially powerful. So we, you know, got to, you know, the privilege of testing a chatbot early on that was customized and secure for our documents. But as we've gone, it's interesting to see how things have shifted. And I would say it's, you know, like I wanted to originally say that it's early days, but in fact, it's not, because it's been a couple years. But I think because the sort of the perennial issue of any new technology, the behavior change and adoption and integration into your actual work is actually what needs to happen. And that takes the longest. And that's, I think, where we're really in the midst of, is trying to figure out, what does this mean for our roles? What does it mean for our tasks? Like, how we think about things? How do we protect ourselves, our partners, the communities we serve, et cetera? And that's not an easy equation to figure out, even though you have this feeling of like, AI is gonna solve all your problems. So we're just in the midst of that sort of struggle to find practical uses, you know, moving away from the bright, shiny object syndrome and into really practical use cases. So pause there.
I love it. I've got all sorts of follow-ups. So I think what I'll just go right to Elizabeth for the next piece, and then we'll start the panel discussion. So Elizabeth, I think this is it's a great transition point of how do you get beyond the bright, shiny, syndrome, shiny object syndrome, and start moving to work. So excited to hear more from you and the Form 1 team.
Yeah, Jeff, I love that framing because that is exactly kind of what we are talking with clients about every day. And I think it's a very, very natural tendency to kind of look for, it's in the news, leaders are hearing about it from board members, from their bosses, and it's really easy to say this is a thing that we have to do. But what we really try and center in our work is that AI is a tool. It's not an outcome, right? It's not a thing you have to do, but it is something that we want to really think about. How do we integrate this into the programs we already have going, into ongoing work streams, and really try and identify a few things that are safe to try. I think that's something that I found really interesting in the report, and we're definitely seeing with clients, but the extent to which I think everybody's talking about this, everybody's thinking about it, and so many people don't know where to start, right? It is this very, very complex thing. And so trying to kind of move past the bright, shiny objects to something that just feels like we can get started with this. This is something that we can ask a funder for support on. This is something that we can integrate into an ongoing work stream, and really kind of bring it down to a level where it's actionable and people can kind of wrap their heads around it. Because I think this is such a massive technology shift, and this sector can be slower to integrate those into our bureaucracies, into our, Jeff, to your point, people, right? It is at the end of the day about workflows. It's about people. It's about staff. And so I think it's really important that we kind of bite off a piece of that and get started and see what challenges are arising. So it was really great to see kind of how that's showing up in all of these different organizations and some of those common themes. We get kind of one slice of that from our client work, but it was great to see that in the research as well.
Okay, so I've got some individual follow-ups, but I think I'm actually just going to jump to some of the panel discussion section and sort of the back and forth. While I'm doing that, if you're watching this as we go forward and sort of discuss some of the initial findings and perspectives, please do add your questions in the chat, and then we'll start getting those in about 15 to 20 minutes, but if one's particularly relevant, we may jump in. So for the first panel question I'd love to ask, the CPC research paper finds that the majority of foundation leaders report their staff have limited to no technical understanding of their grantees' AI attitudes, technical ability, or ethical considerations, and fewer than 20% of nonprofits report their funders have engaged them in conversations about AI. So my question is, how can foundations and nonprofits better bridge this understanding gap and foster more open dialogue about AI-related needs and opportunities? I'll leave that out there, but Alicia, you might be the best one to start that, given.
Yeah, I'm happy to jump in with that one. I think one of the great parts of this research was that we have opportunity to speak with almost 20 folks who were using AI in different capacities at nonprofits and foundations from different angles. And one of the interviews we did recently, I thought was really, there's an organization, a foundation that's had a portfolio for quite a while in technology. And we were having a conversation around like expertise and who holds expertise, right? And that the way right now, like as a society that we talk about AI is like, it's this golden object that like only a few people understand and everybody else has to like get their knowledge to the right place to be able to implement it or use it or figure it out. And this interviewee made the really great point that actually the field you're working in, you're the expert in that, right? Like if you're doing education work or you're working in healthcare, like you are doing the work that you are an expert in. And because of that, you're actually the person that communities you're working with and you working together with them, you're best positioned to figure out actually how would AI be helpful here, right? But the way that we're that it's talked about, we're often taught like, oh, we have to bring somebody in to tell us how to use AI. And so I would say, you know, to the question you're asking, like holding that piece in mind around expertise, that expertise actually sits in different places. Like, you know, if you're a healthcare organization and you're having issues with patient intake, or you can't find the patients you need to find to do X, Y, or Z, or patients are coming to you and they're saying, we keep having this issue, then my question would be, oh, okay, well, is there a way that you can ethically, right? Because there are, I mean, you know, again, the thing, one of the things that came up a lot are the questions around ethics and bias and like the data that's underlying AI, right? Like there are a lot of questions there. But I think if we start in a place of saying, what is it that, what is the problem that we need to solve? And then partnering with each other and then figuring out, well, is there a role that would make sense for AI to play here, right? Like that's a very different question than, oh, how can I write this grant application faster? Or if I'm a funder, how can I review more grant applications more easily, right? Like that's a fundamentally, like that's a question that maybe I come up with as an individual, right? But it's not necessarily an issue that a community was facing and trying to solve. And so I think starting from that place actually is gonna be really important in ensuring that however we use AI, that is solving questions that need solving. Because I think often we forget that the person who is asking, the whoever poses whatever the problem question is, you know, that's kind of where we start from. And if we're starting from what it is that communities are asking for and we're partnering together around that, then I think we'll be in a much better place around how we end up utilizing AI.
I love that point around expertise, and I'll just follow on with a few short points. But I think one of the diagnoses I have of like that gap between, it seems like on both sides, there's like a missing conversation that's happening. And I think it roots in partly that this version of AI, because AI has been around for a long time, but it usually was reserved for like data scientists, programmers, is we've sort of like opened up the aperture where everybody can sort of access these and do pretty significant things. And you're sort of, there's like the fear in the system of, is this going to take my job? Like there's all these like human psychological like aspects that are, I think, probably leading people to hesitate. I saw the question in the chat too, of like, we're afraid to talk to funders. And I think it's one of the things I would say would help solve this is funders need to, and this is something my foundation needs to do, is like communicate how we, like what our policy is for grant makers around AI. And that's like a first step that I think can help open up the conversation. And that's something that we haven't been able to do yet. And it's partly because I think, I remember early days when we started this AI task force, just because I talked about it occasionally, they were like, you're the expert. I'm like, no, like, let's not mistake me for an expert, because I just, you know, I'm curious about it. But I think we really need to open up the communication channels to help bridge that gap, because I do think there's a huge opportunity, given the resources that foundations have, to like bring the technical assistance lens with AI as an accompaniment that can really help do what you were saying, Alicia, around let's look at the specific problems we can try to solve around this.
Jeff, I love that point about the kind of the human psychological elements here, and there really is a lot of fear and uncertainty and rapid change. And I do think that having more policies out there, that structure can create some safety within which to have those conversations. One thing we've been working on with some of our partners is, using the word policy can often feel like we've got to answer every question, right? We've got to figure out all of the details. And so we've been doing a lot of guidance documents and kind of, here's what we know, here's how we're thinking about it, here are some guidelines, but not intentionally not policies, because those can take longer to actually get through all of the bureaucracy and kind of get to the end point. And so I think something a little bit more fluid that can be updated as technology changes, but still provides a little bit of that structure and safe space for people to operate within can be really effective, because there's just so much happening, so much uncertainty, it can be hard to even know where to kind of enter into those conversations.
Amen. Got one or two more, but I think also just I think Yatri has teed us up brilliantly for the next panel question. Comment from Yatri is saying, integrating AI into workflows is not trivial in my experience. AI does not give consistent answers and has too many implicit biases. Great point. And I think that tees us up brilliantly for the next question, which is CEP research data shows security and privacy risks are the top concern for foundations, something like 80% of the leaders based on responses, while misinformation or inaccurate results was the primary worry of nonprofits. So something like 73% of leaders who responded. Does that track with your experiences? Because I think this is a question of also, the types of challenges you're seeing often depend on which type of organization you're responsible for supporting. So I'll open that up and whoever wants to take it away. But as always, Alicia, it's your work, so write a first response if you want.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, especially given the poll in the beginning here, that that data seems to track a lot with, what we saw at the top of this call, and then also other data that's out there as well. There's some great work happening by Project Evident around this topic, where they've been, kind of looking into the same question around like how folks are using AI or whether they're using it. I know the Chronicle of Philanthropy did a survey, and so that definitely like aligns with some of the other research that we're seeing out there. And then I think, even the comments that we're seeing in the chat now around, bias, environmental impacts, those are all real concerns, right? And things that are weighing heavily on folks' minds, along with the misinformation and inaccurate results. And so all of that has to be held, all those things are simultaneously true. And so definitely that data resonates. I feel like with both of what we're hearing here today and with other research that I've seen in the field too.
Yeah, I mean, I think the secure, I it actually makes sense. I mean, given like the orientation of those two different entity types, like, I think nonprofits, that is a going concern, like how their work is talked about, how the impact of their work is communicated, and when you're sort of giving control to this, technology in some ways, that the risk level goes up, and vice versa for foundations. And I've observed this directly, like security is the paramount concern, not only from like a data security perspective, but a legal like security perspective. That's a big part of the conversation. And how do you make sure that inaccurate information, not just misinformation, comes from these tools? And then, if you can imagine like a through line of someone writes a report, summary gets put together and something's inaccurate and it goes out on a website or an image is created and it, results in a lawsuit. Like that's a paramount concern. I think both need to actually be on a relatively equal playing field. I think it's that with the speed that these tools work, it's actually harder to do the misinformation or like inaccurate information that comes from these tools. And that's something that just requires a sort of vigilance in testing in safe spaces. And I think, Elizabeth, you mentioned this, is like, how do you safely test different functions, especially when you're starting to like, I mean, really any type of like quantitative or qualitative information, it actually comes through for both, where you really need to make sure that you're including the human in the loop, and the trust that needs to be established in these technologies is so critical for being able to get to that. And I know that that's actually one of the biggest challenges is trust. If someone sees an inaccurate response, then they're typically like, actually, I'm not going to use that anymore. When it really is, you actually should test and understand the capabilities so that you can get to like a useful use case. So, but it's a challenge for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to pile on. I'm seeing the same stuff with our clients, but I do think on the misinformation and inaccurate results piece, that's especially problematic for nonprofits because we're in an era of really low trust in institutions already. So we're coming into this in a place where people already aren't primed to trust institutions, and then this is layering on. So we're having a lot of conversations right now about generative engine optimization, how do organizations control their presence in this new environment? And it's a really rapidly evolving field. But I think that is a very real fear for good reasons for leaders in this space, because it is a kind of a letting go of control of information in an environment where the public is already not primed to trust big institutions.
That's great. I have a final question on sort of available resources for AI, but if it's all right, Alicia, I think a couple questions are coming in both in the Q&A and in the chat, looking at sort of environmental impact, equity, I think biases. And so if it's all right to kind of put you on the spot, but I think there's some great findings. And also, let's be clear, we're not going to solve the environmental impact, equity, biases in AI today. But I think one of the conversations is like, am I alone in this? Am I alone and be uncomfortable with what I'm seeing? And I think we're seeing that in the chat. But there's a great section in the report on looking at equitable AI activities that nonprofits and foundations were doing. And so I'd love to just kind of, you know, zoom out a bit and just sort of say, you know, what are you seeing across this landscape in terms of these activities, to the degree that we can share?
Yeah, I would say, you know, a lot of the folks that the concerns that folks are voicing in the chat, I would say align a lot with what we saw, you know, in the data. And I think the thing that's great in this moment is we're starting to see, I would say it's very early, but there are more and more efforts now, I feel like, that are starting to really think about, you know, one, how do we take these concerns into consideration? And also, like, what are ways that folks are thinking creatively to work around some of these issues? So, for instance, OpenAI brought together over 500, I believe, nonprofit leaders a couple of months ago and published a report, and I'll put that link in the chat, just around just highlighting, like, some successful examples of ways that folks had used AI that were more centered in equity. And then also some of the lessons learned from some of the very concerns that folks are bringing up. There are also some good resources out there around the ethical use of AI that we highlight in the report, just in terms of, like, questions that funders can ask themselves as they're thinking about it. So there's a tool called the Responsible AI Adoption in Philanthropy that Project Evident and the Technology Association of Grantmakers put out. That has been a helpful resource, I think, to folks as they think about this. And then also a series of other links I'm happy to share in the chat too, that are just resources in terms of folks who are thinking about this. The other thing I'll say is that the Kapoor Foundation, who is a great supporter of this work, this is an area where they're also doing a lot of work and thinking a lot about these issues. And then the other piece, I think, that, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about this later too, is that for funders, I think one of the complicating factors has been, you know, there are some foundations who have, for instance, a technology portfolio, and they've been thinking about this for a really long time, and they've integrated their AI grant making and, like, thinking ethically about AI into that portfolio. And there are other funders who, you know, they funded education over the course of their, you know, 100 years or 50 years. And, you know, I think one of the things that Omidyar has been really good at highlighting is, you know, okay, sure, there are folks who fund in issue areas, but even if you're an issue area funder, that doesn't mean that AI is not touching what you do. So then how are you thinking about that as part of your grant making? And I think that's just another issue that came through in the research that's, you know, in a consideration on the funder side too.
Love it. We'll keep going. Also, I see some great links in the comments. Elizabeth, you shared one from, actually, let me turn over to you. Would you like to say what you shared in the
comments? Oh, sure. I shared, it's a guide. It's not AI specific, but our VP of engineering put together a pretty detailed list of kind of things to think about as you're optimizing your digital products for sustainability. And I think this is an area where this is very much an acceleration of a trend that isn't unique to AI. Data centers have been they're huge environmental concerns, even it's been for quite a while. So no easy answers here, but I think it is important with any technology that you're introducing that you're thinking about those questions, you're asking those values questions, not just what's the best technical solution. So hopefully that's helpful as people are thinking through.
I love it. For my last question, I'll put you both on the spot and then we'll turn over purely to the audience. But I'm also just a shout out, Mia put in a link for Graham McDonald's policy at the Urban Institute. I'm a huge fan of Graham Notes. I think this idea of learning in the open and just sort of having an open conversation about it has been really great to see from those. So this is my last question. I put Alicia on the spot, so I'm going to put Jeff, you and Elizabeth on the spot with the next one. CP research shows that 0% of foundations are planning to adjust their levels of AI support for grantees downward. But that's not as great as it sounds, because it sounds like 27% are planning either no change or slight increase, but 73% just don't know. So hopefully I'm not misrepresenting any of this research, Alicia, so please always correct me. But my question is, to both of you, Jeff, from the foundation perspective, Elizabeth, from working with mission-driven partners and foundations, like, how do you think this field might change, and what are the things that might change it? Because I think with resources comes programs.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a perfectly accurate representation, because I think the sort of aren't sure is probably the way that I would characterize it. I think there's motivation, like personally, that I saw recently. I want to say it's McGovern and Gates are working with Anthropic to put together a $1 billion fund for frontline organizations to start leveraging some of those tools. And I think, there's been a lot of like ideation around what would that look like. I don't think there's been movement in terms of resources from our side yet, but that's something that sort of been putting into the hopper, especially because I think even Alicia, with the CEP survey that we did as a foundation, like technical assistance is just like a perennial concern. And this is just a component that will help support that, I think, and hopefully, make it better in theory. Obviously, we have to figure out proper ways to support that. But I think this data is perfectly representative of the state of things, with the hope that we really are able to marshal some resources to support this. And, it's interesting. At the beginning, I wanted to delineate between like traditional AI and generative AI, because we have been supporting traditional AI approaches and using like predictive analytics for, predicting homelessness and trying to crowd in resources to prevent homelessness. So there have been some areas where this has already, been in place, but I think this new moment, it really has changed what's available to organizations at a lower cost, I think, in some respects, than those traditional versions would require.
With that, we'll go explicitly to the audience, Q&A part. But as always, if you see one you're particularly excited about or you want to chat about, please do jump in and chat. So we'll start with the first question received in the Q&A piece from an anonymous attendee saying, and this is also just to note, this conversation is mostly on the foundation and partner side, not so much on the nonprofit side. So this would be an interesting one to ask, which is, how would you suggest nonprofits share with funders that they are leveraging AI when they are fearful that it will be received poorly by their funders? There is still, at times, a feeling like AI is cheating. So I think back to that sort of, initial research findings, Alicia, that you found of, foundations aren't really talking with the grantees about it. Well, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's something that there's a good reason for. So I'll open up to the group, but as always, Alicia, please jump in if any research specific on findings.
Yeah, actually, I was like, oh, I'm really fascinated here with Jeff. What Jeff was going to share with that one.
Jeff, over to you. Put you on.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to chat about this one. I think it requires an assessment of who your funder is. I think our position internally in conversations was like, we just assume that folks are using it, and it's spurring me to be like, I think I need to start asking staff internally to understand sort of what they're hearing in terms of demand signals and otherwise. And I think that's why the policy piece for foundations, that's not just internal, but that really communicates to grantees what expectations are. But I know I've heard in anecdotal fashion that you know, we're just assuming, and frankly, I've heard lots of people say, we hope we do, they do, because I think the angle that I would use if I was still sitting in a nonprofit would be like, look, like the more we can be efficient and say, obviously being safe and ethical and all those things, the like better we'll be able to serve the people that we're aiming to help. Like, I think that has to be the North Star of this. And I remember we had an early conversation when this was just bubbling with the CEO of McGovern, and he was like, we're in a, you know, like corporations are gonna do corporations, like they're gonna plow ahead, and it's incumbent upon the nonprofit space to really try to wrestle with how do you get AI to be used for good. And I think that, you know, if you look at that, like, is AI cheating? No. If it remains true to what you're doing, and like you still have a human in the loop that's judging what the product is, there shouldn't be an issue with that, because you know, everybody's going to be sort of experiencing access to these tools and efficiencies. And I think it's just really transforming the way that we work. That's going to happen. So I, you know, obviously assess who your foundation is and what you, if you have any signals of like this may land poorly, but I do think hopefully you can use that angle of like, we're really interested in finding ways to use these tools so we can do more for the populations we're trying to serve.
Go right ahead with the next questions, because there's some great ones I want to get to. So this one, I think, will be Elizabeth coming your way, most likely, but also anyone feels strongly. Next question's from Amalia, and says, she's asking, when promoting social change, so much rides on the nuance until you can stabilize your implementation model and really wrap your head around the actual measures and actual changes, that I worry that things will fall through the cracks, and or organizations might jump to conclusions and findings that are not really upheld by the evidence. Have you encountered that challenge? And then there's a sub question there also saying, also, if grantees are saving time by using AI to write the reports, and funders are also using AI to summarize reports, what do you do about AI to AI bias, and how do you mitigate that? So sort of elephants all the way down problem.
These are some wonderful and very big questions. I think on the like the measurement issue, that is a very real risk. But I think the answer is really just staying as focused as you can on the actual outcomes that you're trying to achieve, and not the kind of the technology or how you're getting there, and making sure that your measurement plan is really tightly tied to your theory of change, to your program or organizational goals. And I think that can balance some of the kind of the fear of things falling through the cracks, or kind of getting influenced by that AI bias. I think on the AI to AI bias, we believe really strongly there always has to be a human in the loop. So AI can be a really important part of the process, but we do not recommend a situation where you are just having AI talk to other AI and doing any kind of analysis or decision making based on that. So to, you know, get to organizing information more quickly, or a first draft, those kind of use cases can be really powerful. But when we're talking about issues of this importance that are really impacting people's lives, it is just incredibly critical that we have those humans in the loops that are looking at all of that, and really explicitly checking for that bias.
This may seem antiquated now, but I always remember the IBM training manual from like 1979, I think it was, which is like, well, a computer can never be held accountable, therefore a computer must never make a management decision, which in some ways is antiquated, in some ways is better advice than ever.
I don't think it is antiquated. I think that's absolutely right, right? There's not accountability there. It has to be a human.
Amen. All right, well, we'll keep going for the questions, because there's so many great ones, but if when other folks are jumping in, if they want to reference previous questions, please do. The next question comes from Nathan, asking, have any of you panelists or anyone within the research learnings built or engaged in training practice programs for staff in areas of Gen AI, agentic AI, LLMs, or various commercially available tools, prompting frameworks, a couple different pieces, but chain of thought, a couple other acronyms might have thrown in, or best practices? If yes, how'd it go? And what did you learn? So thanks, Nathan, for a great question. That's open to everyone, but you know, take as you wish.
Yes-ish. We've done a couple of trainings, and I think it started with like data for decision making, but then became data and AI for decision making. And I mean, I think it just really continues to typify the like, there's great tools out there, but like you have to have the time to really think about what behavior change, what sort of knowledge, like interaction you have to use these tools effectively. And so like we've had some really effective 2-day trainings, I think with like, I want to say up to like 40 of our 60 program staff. But just like any like new technology, like the follow through, the sort of like institutional accompaniments that help sustain those ideas is really critical. And that's where I think we're just sort of, as I mentioned, I'm sort of like muddling through trying to figure out like how do you deal with both like the practical technology considerations, the human behavioral, like psychological considerations, and just like the speed. It's always worth acknowledging the massive amount of change that we're all experiencing right now that is just really like you can't take that out as a factor of even the ability for us to pay attention to and think about how to make these changes, because there are so many crises that we're sort of dealing with that are also having an impact on adoption and integration, because our attention is not as, you know, focused on normal operations. It's like everything is changing. So
we've been doing a lot of training with our team on this, and we kind of have a two-pronged approach where we have some dedicated learning pathways that some of which are required, some of which are optional, but those are kind of more centralized. And then we have a really intentional community around peer learning and experimentation and just talking through challenges. So we're really trying to tackle it both from, you know, here's what you need to know here, or here's what kind of the organization thinks, but then also that ground up, you know, here's something interesting that I learned, or here's something that I tried. We have Failure Fridays where we all share something that didn't go very well. So I think it's important in a environment that is moving so rapidly that you're also letting people learn from each other and not having it all come from one central place.
This is a beautiful lead into the next question from an anonymous attendee saying, is there a growing ecosystem to support nonprofit capacity building and using AI in their work? And who are some of the leaders helping nonprofits? Also, just a shameless plug for those commenting in the chat. There's some great resources and comments as well. So I think we're part of that ecosystem now, but let me turn over to the panelists in terms of this ecosystem of AI capacity building support, and who are some of the leaders helping nonprofits?
Well, I would just say again that there are links in the chat to some of the resources from OpenAI, and I think they're just super helpful. So that's definitely one place that I would point to on the nonprofit side. I don't know if there are others that folks also would highlight. And then there when we publish the report, our hope too is to include, you know, a few more just resources as well.
And you mentioned it as Project Evident and Tag Tech earlier, and some of the other, as the Technology Association of Grant Makers, is the Tag Tech, and there's some just great stuff there. So I'll pause if anybody else on the panel wants to jump in with their.
I was going to mention the tag resources. I think those have been really helpful. ComNet is also doing some interesting leadership, like more on the communication side and kind of how things are impacting marketing and communications teams.
Again, for Tag Tech, Jeff, anything from you or on to the next one? And then we've got about 6 minutes left, so we'll do one more question and then go to the closing thoughts.
No, nothing more beyond what I mentioned earlier, the Gates, McGovern, Anthropic partnership. But yeah, there's probably not enough yet, but the ones you all listed are great.
So I'm going to go back, I think, just to the report for a moment. I think the different perspectives and. First of all, I mean, I can't wait for everybody else to read this report so I can just, you know, talk with everyone about it and go on. So please do sign up. But question, I think, for Alicia, but also a question just for the group, which is, you know, what questions, you know, did you like, but also like what questions would you like to ask to nonprofit and foundation leaders? Like what things are you wondering or going, are other people having this problem? Are other people having this question? And so, you know, I'll open that up, but I'm excited about this one. I'm already excited about reading the one next year if they're, you know, I shouldn't jump ahead, but I'm curious to see what kind of questions you think will should be added, and if there are questions that are asked, you know, that you're hoping that they'll change.
I mean, one of the, well, I too am excited for the report release at the end of September, and, you know, one of the things that that was really tough in pulling this data together was finding organizations that were using AI in some of those, you know, like really the ways that centered equity and that were like working on issues that kind of bubbled up from community. And, you know, my hope would be that, you know, if we were to conduct the study again, that we'd find more examples of that and that funders would be supporting grantees to do more of that kind of work, and that there was, you know, the other thing I'll just say is we also all know that AI, using AI is doing things differently. And then having the space to innovate and think about doing something differently or approaching something differently also takes space and time and resources. And so I would just also name, like, there's a tension there also, right? Always when we're in resource constrained environments, you know, especially in the current climate as funding shifts, it just makes, but you know, is that even though the environment is changing, the AI environment is changing also. And so I think there's just like a lot to hold there simultaneously. And my hope would be that, you know, in the future, as folks are using AI, but that they're thinking about it first from a equity and equitable AI lens, and starting there, and that there are more examples like that.
And then I hope that for those who see the report, there's an equity activities, equity piece too, but yeah, human shift. Over to Jeff, Elizabeth, anything that you would like to see asked for next year?
Oh, I think just clarity on like if there are specific asks for foundations and how they can support. I mean, it's sort of getting a little bit more nuance on what that looks like. I mean, I think, you know, my immediate instinct is like, how do we have a more grantee facing guidance or policy on it is one part of it. But then I think filling out details on like what those specific demand signals, like what support looks like. Is it, you know, a portion of funds similar to like how we, you know, think about monitoring evaluation? It's like, you know, is it a percentage to explore what the, you know, integration of those tools look like? Is it bigger partnerships, like we mentioned, where there's, you know, partnering with some of these bigger companies to develop packages of resources for organizations. So just understanding those specific needs, I think, would be helpful.
And I'd love to go deeper on scale, and scale both within organizations, but also collaboration between organizations, and how do we scale use of these technologies across sectors and movements. I think we're in a place where it's still pretty experimental. You know, there are some places where we're finding great use cases, but as we move forward and as we mature, I think really understanding how do you scale this effectively, what works, what doesn't, would be really interesting to dig into.
Great. So we're just about at time. There's still some great questions we didn't get to and some amazing engagement. So thanks to everyone who's contributed, and hopefully the questions we answered have been helpful and useful. I've enjoyed it. So there's that. We'll be posting an archive of the video, and then of course we'll send around more information. Before we close out formally, I'd love to just give each panelist sort of the last word or final reflections on what we close out the webinar. So with that, I'll mute and open up that space.
I can go quickly. I mean, I think I'm excited, I think, on two fronts. One, from like a technical side of things, I think, you know, in evaluation, one of the biggest challenges we've always had is getting evaluation to meet the speed of decision making. So I'm hopeful that these tools, we can find a way to use them equitably, ethically, responsibly, safely, to help do that, because I think that's a big opportunity in the evaluation space. And then I think this, I hope this sort of argument of the use of these tools will help us make change faster and help people more effectively. I think that's, you know, the hope that I have around the use of these tools, even though I know there are risks and environmental impacts and all the things that we have to continue to problem solve around.
Jeff, I was going to say something really similar. I think I want to so appreciate this forum and having this conversation and all of these really smart questions. I think this is critical for kind of where we are in this moment. But I always want to end these conversations with a reminder that this technology is just a tool. At the end of the day, this is about helping people. It's about staying focused on the outcomes. And I think there is a lot of opportunity in using these particular tools to further that, but we've got to stay focused on what we're actually trying to do, which is not use AI. It's help people in all of the different ways that we can. And so just kind of keeping, it's really powerful, but it is a tool to achieve something else. And we need to stay focused on that.
I 100% agree with what Elizabeth just said. And I hope everybody reads their report on September 30th. Those are my closing thoughts.
It's been great. Thank you. Thank you for being willing to share your research. Thank you for all your work. And just a round of applause. And thank you for all of you who've contributed. Thanks all for joining. And with that, we'll end on time.